long time no see. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you. Thank you for coming out tonight. And before we proceed with anything else, if you hear that pounding...
Can anybody hear that?
Can anybody hear that pounding? That's unfortunately, our apologies, but that's our neighbors, the dance studio. And they, of course, being dancers, they have to have really loud music. But anyways, we'll just try to ignore it from now on. There you go. Anyways, hey, great to see you all. This is our third night, and I have to say, again, we're saying this every night pretty well, but it is very surreal being here in front of you doing a show, but it's fun. So, you know, yeah. So.
It makes me want to sanitize.
Yeah. So, anyways, so Christmas Carol. So, how many of people here have seen A Christmas Carol at some point in the past?
Okay.
Pause. Yeah, I can't actually see past the second row. So, and how many people? This is your first Christmas Carol experience.
Okay.
No. No.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Do it proudly.
Yeah. I've managed to avoid this nonsense.
Until now. Well, thank you for coming. And of course, if you've seen Christmas Carol before, you probably know that every year we've done it, we've tried to do it a little differently. Mm-hmm. So over the years, we've done it in a number of different ways. So, for example, we've done it as...
A medieval passion play.
We did.
It was good, yeah.
Yeah.
We did it as a Western at one point.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Sci-fi.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep. We did it as a three-person version where you got to choose your own Scrooge.
We did it as the all-nude ballet.
Oh, yeah. March of the Wooden Soldiers.
Yeah.
Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairies.
Yeah. Swan Lake.
that's right. You're just one step too far. Yeah. Right? There's the joke, and then there's the after joke. Anyways, so those are just some of the ones we've done in the past. And of course, now this year, there was pitches. Every year we have different people making pitches as to what kind of Christmas Carol we should do. And this year we had a number of different pitches. For example, Ken, you pitched something.
Yes. I've always wanted to do a Conan the Barbarian Christmas Carol.
which I was really into, and it was going to be like, Conan, there are rumored to be many spirits.
It's not a rumor.
So I just put a big no on that one. Rob, you had something, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, it wasn't so much like a pitch for a concept. It was just like, there's Tiny Tim, and I thought, well, the rest of the Cratchit family should all be various different sizes and shapes of Tim, or just different adjective Tims. There's like Green Tim, and like Happy Tim, and like...
Sexy
like,
Tim.
I don't know. Well, sure, yeah, and anyway. And there was going to be like a really cute robot called Tinny Tim, and he was kind of like burp, beep.
Anyway, we didn't go with that concept. Jen, you had one.
I did have one. I pitched the Muppets.
Yeah, which I, it was a very great idea, yeah. Because
it's the Christmas Carol with our very special guest star, Ebenezer Scrooge, yeah!
Woman! Woman!
But then we didn't want to be sued by the Disney Corporation. No. So unfortunately we could not do a Muppet Christmas Carol. So but here's the thing. So last year we discovered a long forgotten silent film that we fixed up and we put online called Christmas Carol 1919. And at the very same time we found in our archives a script from a radio play from the 1930s. And that's what we're going to perform for you tonight. This is actually from the 1930s. We don't know which year particularly, but we do know it's from the 1930s.
It's very offensive.
Just because of the references in it. So that's what we're doing. And we're doing it as a radio play, so everything tonight's being recorded. And we'll have it available online on our website, the TV website, which is loosemoose.tv. And just to explain a little bit, so that's Ellis over there. Ellis
Hello.
Is supplying music and voices. And that's Michael right there, and he's doing Foley. So Michael, maybe just a brief explanation what Foley is.
Oh, sure. So Foley is basically live sound effects. So for example, I've got this...
bag of cornstarch, and if you close your eyes, you're walking through the snow. Ooh. Anyway. So that's
huge budget.
That's what Michael's going to be doing, is he's going to be doing Foley. And up there, that's John. So yeah, so John is John's recording the show tonight, but also he's making adjustments to the sound that you hear in the house as well. So that's what John's doing. And then Ken, myself, Dennis, Rob, and Jen, we're going to be supplying most, if not all, of the character voices. So that's how this is going to work.
Most.
Well, no, because I don't want, because sometimes, Michael and Ella supply voices. Yeah. And also, we need you, the audience, because we're recording you and your reactions as well. And now sometimes we're going to cue you with some cue cards. So for example, if you see that, you're going to go...
A-W-W.
No, you're not going to go A-W-W, because you don't think... This is not a literal audience. So that's very good. You did really, really well, because last night's audience was... We had to rehearse with them for hours.
Yeah, it was a whole...
That's all we did, actually. Yeah, that's we right. Ran the whole, out of time.
Yeah, it was 2 hours of rehearsal. So. Anyway, so that's basically the setup. So like I said, you just be an audience. We'll be performing, and hopefully we'll meet in the middle.
Oh, you did. You had a suggestion last two nights for the
audience.
Oh,
yes, yeah. You know what? This is a thing that this is a real suggestion, and that is every once in a while, it's probably not a bad idea for you just to close your eyes and listen, because it's a very different experience than watching and listening, okay? So just try that out periodically during the show. Don't fall asleep, because that would be embarrassing. I close my eyes and, oh, it's so calming. And,
oh no, it's a dance studio.
How does it feel to treat me like you do?
Anyways, sorry, are there any questions? I just like to ask, because you know we're not going to stop halfway through the show if you put your hand up. This is the time to ask your questions right now, or don't even bother.
How long does this introduction last? How much longer?
Well, if you keep asking questions, it keeps going on and on and on.
I have a follow-up.
Anyways, and now,
A Christmas Carol.
The LMTC Broadcasting Network and the Van Dyke and Brunchette family of fine products are proud to present the Loose Moose Players in A Christmas Carol. At this festive time of year, we are pleased to offer this timeless classic based on the original story by Charles Dickens. And to paraphrase the great man himself, we endeavor in the ghostly story to raise the ghost of an idea which shall not put our listeners out of humor with themselves, with each other, with the season, or with us. And now a word from our sponsor, Van Dyke and Brunchette.
Good evening. Of course you know Van Dyke and Brunchette is the makers of many fine products, like Sofa Cigarettes. Tastes real good, like a cigarette should. Cane Cola, now with 7% more Coke. And Flytox Insect Spray with extra DDT. Stops pests dead in their tracks. This evening, we at Van Dyke and Brunchette are very pleased to bring you this special broadcast at this most wonderful time of year. From our family to yours, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and an even better New Year.
Thank you. Well, I know I certainly enjoy Cane Cola a lot. Actually, I'm enjoying one right now. Now, this evening's presentation of A Christmas Carol, narrated by special guest star Alec Guinness and performed by the Loose Moose Players. Let's go.
Good evening, and welcome to our humble home. Please have a seat and warm yourselves by the fire. Will I tell you a story? Marley was dead. There is no doubt whatever about that. There is no doubt that Marley was dead. Dead as a doornail. Dead, dead, dead. It is the day before Christmas, and Bob Cratchit is desperately trying to make his way through the crowded streets of London to his job as Ebenezer Scrooge's clerk.
Merry Christmas, Bob.
Oh, Merry Christmas. Sorry I can't stay and chat. I'm late for work.
Bob Cratchit.
Gerald, hello. It's been a while.
Merry
Christmas to you too. Okay, see you later. All right, there we go. Oh, is that a goose? Oh, geese. There's a lot of geese. Oh, what are these geese doing here? Get out of the way, geese. Get out of the way.
Might I interest you in a free sample of sulfur cigarettes?
Oh,
tastes real good, like a cigarette should.
Thank you, sir.
First pack is free.
I really can't. I don't smoke and I'm late for work.
Oh,
so
but you could if you only tried one.
No, I appreciate it, but thank you, no.
Oh, it's a Christmas gift from me to you.
Well,
You wouldn't turn down a Christmas gift, would you?
No, I suppose I wouldn't. Yay.
Well, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Well, I don't know what to do with these, so I will just leave them right here, and hopefully somebody who smokes will come along and pick them up.
Matches! Get your matches from the original little matchbox, girl. Ooh, what are these? Cigarettes? Oh, now I have something to demonstrate my matches with.
Ooh, that's smooth. That's real smooth. Matches, get your matches.
I'm sorry, little girl, but I actually meant those for someone.
Just try and take them from me, old man, and I'll burn you down.
All right, sorry, I thought you were a young woman, but that was my mistake. All right. Oh, that's the bells. I'm really late now. Hello, Tappy. It's Tappy, the tap dancing horse. What's that, Tappy? You've got a problem. Well, anything for a friend in need. What is it, Tappy? Okay, so there's two trains that get you home for Christmas. One of them is a fast train, but it makes stops. And one of them is a slow train. And both of them, you want to know which one would get you home faster for Christmas? All right, well, calculating the fast train travels at 60 miles per hour, but makes 3 10-minute stops. And the slow train is direct and goes at 45 miles per hour. It would, in fact, be the slower train that would get you home faster for Christmas. Yeah. You're welcome, Tappy. I love a math problem too. All right, well, have a nice time on your train ride. Yeah, all right. Oh, now I'm really late. Oh.
Ebenezer Scrooge never painted out old Marley's name. There it stood, years afterward, above the door. Scrooge and Marley. Inside, Scrooge was working in his cold, dark, and dismal office.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Scrooge. My wife and I were wondering if we could have a word with you.
What can I do for you?
Well, you see, Mr. Scrooge, it's about our loan. We were wondering if there was any way that we could have a wee bit more time to make payment.
We wouldn't ask, you see, but you see, Mary and I are expecting, and we already have 12 children. And we have to feed and clothe all of them, so we're a wee bit short on funds right now.
Let me get this straight. You wish for me to give you an extension on your loan?
Well, seeing how it's Christmas and all.
Yes. It'll tell me something. Why do you have so many children?
Oh, well, we have so many babies because we're sad.
And we're sad because we have so many babies.
I see. Well, I mean, because you have so many babies, and since it is Christmas time, I will give you something.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Scrooge. Thank you.
And I'll give you an ultimatum.
Oh, hear that, Mary? An ultimatum sounds fancy.
You will make your payment on time and in full, or I will have you evicted. That's right, you'll be out on the streets. For Christmas.
Oh, but Mr. Scrooge.
Or maybe we could have some of that bridge financing.
No, nothing. Now get out.
Come along now, husband. I'm feeling a wee bit sad.
Idiots. You're late.
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir. There was a little geese and a smoking girl, and Tappy had a math problem.
Enough of your ornamented excuses.
Yes, sir.
Get to work.
Yes, sir. Mr. Scrooge, it's quite cold in here. I wonder if we might have another piece of coal for the fire.
Coal? Coal, Mr. Cratchit. Do you think coal grows on trees?
Well, it...
No, you may not have another piece of coal. Now get to work.
Yes, sir.
Take a letter.
Yes, sir.
Dear editor...
Mr. Scrooge, I'm terribly sorry. It's so cold in here, the typewriter is actually frozen.
Enough of your complaining, Mr. Cratchit. To continue, it has come to my attention that there are now a large number of soup kitchens throughout the city. It is my tax dollars that are paying for all this soup, and what am I getting in return? Nothing. I would far prefer to see the money put towards a worthy endeavor, like space adventures. I see myself and other men like me on large, provocatively shaped rockets that are in no way indicative of our egos, taking joyrides into outer space, or as close as we can get. Therefore, I say, down with soup and up with rockets. Yours sincerely, Ebenezer Scrooge. Now, read that back to me.
Dear.
Well, as soon as you get caught up, send that to the Times.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, Fred.
A very Merry Christmas to you. Is he in a good mood?
No.
Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Bah, humbug.
A Christmas? A humbug, Uncle? Surely you don't mean that. You know what your problem is? It's so dark in here. Maybe if I opened a window and let some light in.
Don't open outside the window.
What reason have you to be merry? What right have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
Well, what right have you to be dismal? What right have you to be morose? You're certainly rich enough.
Bah, humbug.
Oh, don't be cross, Uncle.
Well, why shouldn't I be when I live in a world of fools such as this? Out upon your Merry Christmas is just a time for spending money you don't have. Another year older, but not a day richer. If I could work my will, every idiot that went about with Merry Christmas on the lips would be boiled in their own Christmas pudding with a sprig of holly driven through their heart.
Uncle!
Nephew! You keep Christmas in your way and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it? But you don't keep it!
Then let me leave it alone! Much good it's done you. Much good it will ever do you.
Well, there are many things that I might have derived good that I have not profited from. Well, I dare say a Christmas among the rest. But I like to think of Christmas time, apart from the veneration due its sacred name and origin, as a happy time, kind, forgiving, charitable time. The only time I know of in a long calendar year when men and women seem to open their shut-up hearts freely and think of people below them as if they really were fellow passengers to the grave and not some other creatures bound on other journeys. It's a time of year when a wife might warn her husband that there's a bay leaf in the stew just in case she, you know, because of the bay leaf pandemic of 1884. But it's a happy time and a kind time. And though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe it has done me good and will do me good. And therefore I say, God bless it.
Oh, well done, Fred. Well done.
Shut up. You're quite the speaker, sir. It's a wonder you do not go into politics.
Come dine with us tomorrow night.
Let me ask you something. Why did you get married?
Because I fell in love.
Because you fell in love. What's love got to do with it?
Got to do with it.
What's love but a second-hand emotion? What's love got to do?
Cratchit!
One more note out of you, and you'll be looking for a new job for Christmas.
You never came to see me before I was married. Well, why use it as an excuse for not coming now?
Good afternoon.
Uncle, I want nothing from you. I ask nothing from you. Why can't we be friends?
Good afternoon.
Uncle, I'm sorry with all my heart to find you so resolute. We've never had any quarrel that I've been a party to. But I made my trial in homage to Christmas, and I'll keep my Christmas humor to the last. Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Good afternoon.
Merry Christmas, Bob.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Fred. Yeah.
Oh, Uncle, there's some charity canvassers outside. I'll send them right in.
I will get rid of them straight away, sir. Yes, sir.
Make sure you do not allow them in this office.
Do we have the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Mr. Marley has been dead for 7 years. He died 7 years ago on this very night.
Ooh. Well, we have no doubt that his liberality and generosity is tied by his moving partner. Mr. Scrooge, at this time of year, it comes upon us of the business community to make a small contribution for a destitute.
Gentlemen, are there no prisons?
Yes, but not everyone's a prisoner.
And the garment industry sweatshops, are they not still in operation?
Well, they bypass regulations by your...
And what about the drop-in center? The way you gentlemen have been speaking, I thought perhaps they'd done away with these institutions.
Yes, but
Put a hamster in your hoodie pocket, just let it run around. You can run a solar powered calculator. How much can we put you down for?
Nothing.
You wish to remain anonymous.
Gentlemen! Since you ask me what I wish, I'll tell you. I don't make myself much merry at Christmas, and I can't afford to make idle fools merry. If people are poor off enough, they should go to these places we've spoken of. I pay my taxes for them.
But many would rather die than go to the places you suggest.
Then die they should, and decrease the surplus population.
Mr. Scrooge, there's so many poor. You just have to open the window to see the poor. Behold the poor and destitute.
Pest!
Look at them.
I have just the thing. Now, where is that fly tox with extra DDT? Ah, yes, right here.
Outrageous! Mr. Scrooge!
Where is your humanity, sir?
I'll show you my humanity.
Mr. Scrooge!
You came into my office. Yes. I didn't invite you in here.
Yes, a canvassing is a right.
With your socialist demands.
Socialist?
Yes, you, sir, are a socialist.
Are you gaslighting me?
I don't feel safe.
It's not a safe place.
You are a snowflake.
You are a snowflake.
You are a snowflake.
Large generation.
Get out of here.
Large generation.
Get out right now.
No, I cannot. You will be seeing or hearing from my solicitor.
You'll hear it.
Oh, yes, you will come here. Oh, you wouldn't dare for a solicitor.
I will make sure
you will not.
April!
Open your houses!
They got past me, sir.
All right, Mr. Cratchit, perhaps now we can get some work done. Constant interruptions, unbelievable. Well, all right. No, Bob Cratchit, I will take care of this.
Scrooge. Scrooge opened the door, but just a little. The boy stuck his hand out, and as soon as it was in the doorway, Scrooge slammed it. And again. And again. And then Scrooge held it closed on the boy's hand, and the boy pulled and pulled at his arm that stretched and stretched until it was now a very long arm. Only then did Scrooge release the boy's hand. The boy wandered off away, singing sadly, as his hand dragged some distance behind, mongrel dogs licking at his fingertips.
All right, now, finally, no more interruptions, Mr. Cratchit, and we'll get some work done, finally.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing?
Well, it's 5 o'clock, sir.
5 o'clock?
Yes, sir.
Oh, well, time flies when you're having whatever we were just having.
Yes, sir.
All right, then. Well, very well. Good evening, Mr. Cratchit, then.
Yes, sir. Mr. Scrooge, tomorrow is Christmas Day, sir, and as such, the whole Cratchit family will be gathering.
I suppose you'll be wanting the whole day off.
Oh, if it's not inconvenient,
not
sir.
Not inconvenient? Of course it's inconvenient. You'd think yourself hard done by if I held back half a crown, but I pay you for a full day's work and no work is done.
Yes, sir. Well, it is just once a year, sir.
A fine excuse to pick a man's pocket every December 25th. All right, you can have the whole day off, but you be in all the earlier the next.
Yes, of course, sir. I thank you very much, sir, and I will be in bright and early next morning, sir. Of course, the whole Cratchit family gives you a big thank you, and of course, a merry,
The office was closed in a twinkling, and on his way home, the clerk took a sled ride down St. Patrick Island Hill 20 times in honor of it being Christmas Eve. And then he ran the rest of the way home to Dover to be with his family on Christmas Eve.
Running to Dover.
When Scrooge arrived at the entrance to the building where he lived, in chambers that once belonged to his deceased partner, he took out his key and placed it in the lock. Suddenly, he saw Jacob Marley's ghostly face appear in the door knocker. It was not angry or ferocious, but looked at Scrooge with ghostly spectacles. And though the eyes were wide open, they were perfectly motionless. That and its livid color made it horrible. As Scrooge looked at this phenomenon, it was a door knocker once again. Scrooge went inside and shook off the eerie feeling, dismissed the very idea of what he had seen. He then lit a candle and made his way to his bedroom. Ebenezer began to undress, when he heard the sound of someone breathing heavily in a darkened corner of the room.
Who's there?
It's me.
Mrs. Pennywhistle?
Yes, Mr. Scrooge. In the flesh.
What are you doing, Mrs. Pennywhistle?
Oh, sorry, Mr. Scrooge, but I was waiting here with your soup and I fell asleep briefly. When I woke up, you were nearly naked, but I didn't want to startle you, so I waited.
Well, if you could avert your eyes so that I can finish putting on my night clothes.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Not that I haven't seen a man's private parts before, having been married and all.
Yes, there. Now then, what kind of soup do you have for me?
Well, it's leek and potato soup, sir.
Oh, yes.
But they didn't have any leeks.
Oh, well.
Or potatoes.
So it's just broth, then?
You could say that.
All right.
Speaking of my husband, he was a good man, he was. We always wanted to have children, but unfortunately could not. Not for lack of trying, I might add. He was a curious little monkey. Apparently, though, I'm as barren as a desert. You could say I was a real dust bowl.
Oh, all right, Mrs. Pennywhistle, I've finished the soup. You can leave now.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course, sir. But before I do, I was wondering, would you like to take a walk in the desert? It's not very moist, but the wind is warm.
What? No, of course not.
My bowl is your bowl.
Thank you, Mrs. Pennywhistle. On your way. Good night.
Sending a poor old woman out into the dark night. Oh, well, you had your chance. Good night, Mr. Scrooge. Midnight at the Oasis. Put your cap to bed.
And so Ebenezer Scrooge locked and double-locked his bedroom door, went to bed, and fell fast asleep.
Someone there? Mrs. Pennywhistle, is that you? What do you want with me?
Much.
Who are you?
Ask me who I was.
Who you was?
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley. Do you believe in me?
I don't.
Why do you doubt your senses?
Because any little thing can affect them. You may be an undigested bit of beef or a fragment of undone potato, if there was any potato. There's more of gravy than of grave about you, whatever you are.
Scrooge held on tight to his bed to save himself from falling off in a swoon. But how much greater was his horror when the phantom, taking off his bandage around its head, its lower jaw dropped down upon its breast.
Do you believe in me now?
I do, I must. But why do spirits walk the earth and why do they come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men. And if that spirit does not do so in life, he's condemned to do so after death. Doomed to wear a world where his lies are cast down and witness what he could not share, but might have shared and turned to happiness.
You are fettered.
Fettered?
Chained.
I wear the chains I forged in life. I forged them link by link and yard by yard. I girded them of my own free will, and of my own free will I bore it. Is its pattern strange to you, or does it resemble the weight and coil of the strong chain you bore yourself 7 Christmas Eves ago? You've labored on it since. It is a ponderous chain.
Oh, Jacob, speak comfort to me.
I have none to give. I misused my life. I never left the limits of this money-changing hole.
But you were always a good man of business.
Business! Mankind was my business. Mercy was my business. Benevolence and forbearance were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop in the comprehensive ocean that was my business. Ah, oh, hear me. My time is nearly gone.
I will, but don't be hard on me.
I'm here tonight to warn you, Ebenezer. There's but a chance and a hope of escaping my fate. A chance and a hope for Ebenezer.
Oh, you were always a good friend to me.
Tonight, you will be haunted by three spirits.
Is that the chance and hope you spoke of, Jacob?
Tis.
I'd really rather not.
Without their visits, you cannot hope to shed the path that I tread. Expect the first when the bell tolls one.
Couldn't I take them all at once and have it
expect
over, Jacob?
Expect the second when the next night at the same hour. The third upon the next night after that, when the last stroke of 12 has ceased to vibrate. Hear me! I speak no more!
Scrooge watched as Marley's ghost floated out the window into the bleak and dark night. Outside, the air was filled with phantoms, wandering in restless haste and moaning as they went. Every one of them wore chains like Marley's ghost. Whether these creatures faded into mist or the mist enshrouded them, he could not tell. But they and their spirit voices faded, and the night became as it had been when he walked home. Scrooge closed the window and examined the door by which the ghost had entered. It was double locked, as he had locked it with his own hands, and the bolts were undisturbed. He tried to say humbug, but stopped at the first syllable. He went straight to bed and fell asleep.
What's that? The hour itself and nothing else. Spirits. As I thought, it must have been something that I ate. Who and what are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
No, your past.
What business brings you here?
Your welfare.
It's really not necessary.
Your reclamation, then. Rise, take heed, and float with me down the River of Time.
River of Time? Oh, yes, I see, the river. And we're going backwards in time.
Behold.
Don't believe it. That's the school I went to when I was a boy in the dormitory I spent so much time in. Oh, my. That's me as a boy, alone reading one of my books.
Hey, what you doing in here all alone, Ebenezer?
Bring the book, he is.
What would you be doing now when you don't have to?
Think you're better than us?
I just enjoy reading books. That's all.
He just enjoys reading and stuttering.
Loser.
Yeah, my father says that you're a loser, and your father is a loser as well, because he's a drunkard, and that's why you can't go home for Christmas. Loser.
Ebenezer loser. Hey, Ebenezer loser. Ebenezer loser. Ebenezer loser.
Gentlemen, your attention, please.
Yes, headmaster.
Gentlemen, it is time for you to make your way home for the holidays to the mothers and fathers that love you a great deal and who very much look forward to seeing you, especially at this most wonderful time of year. Indeed, the vast majority of you are going home to celebrate with your families a homecoming with great joy and a family who cares deeply about your upbringing to become good Christians. Therefore, all of you who are going home for Christmas, please make your way to the train.
Oh, mm. Merry Christmas, Headmaster.
Yes, Merry Christmas.
Well, Ebenezer, it looks like it's just you and me for Christmas. Don't worry, we'll have a fine time. I'm sorry the other boys were teasing you, Ebenezer.
They made fun of me because I stutter and because I like reading.
Well, Ebenezer, making fun of someone's speech impediment is not very Christian. And reading is a gift from God.
Oh, yes, Headmaster.
And what book do you have there, Ebenezer?
Oh, it's The Origin of the Species by Mr. Charles...
How dare you bring that filth into this place of learning? If you continue down this path, Ebenezer, you will burn in a lake of fire for all eternity. 1,000 lifetimes would not be enough to explain the pain you will feel as Satan prods you with his pokey fingers with unmanicured fingernails. The man was not evolved. He was created along with the rest in 6 days. Indeed, the earth is only 6,000 years old. Read the Bible, Ebenezer, for it is full of truths and deep wisdom. Indeed, I'll get it.
I'm looking for my brother, Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh, please, come in.
Oh, little Fran, is that really you?
I've come to bring you home, dear brother, to bring you home, home, home.
Oh, home, little Fran.
Yes, home, home, forever and ever. Father is so much kinder than he used to be that home's like heaven. He rarely has episodes anymore. He spoke to me so gently one night when I was going to bed that I was not afraid to ask him once more if you might come home. And he said yes, and he sent me to come bring you. And you're to be a man, and you're to never come back here ever again. And we're to be together for all Christmas long and have the merriest time in all the world.
Oh, well, I'll have to ask the headmaster first. Excuse me, Headmaster. This is my little sister Fran, and she's come to bring me home for Christmas, if that's okay with you.
Yes, of course, Ebenezer. You may go home for Christmas, but only if you promise to stop reading Mr. Darwin's Wicked Lies.
Oh, yes, of course, sir. Merry Christmas, sir. Thank you.
Well, I suppose it's just me here for Christmas. Well, it gives me an opportunity to listen to my favorite Christmas recording on phonograph. There we are. Who put the sixpence in the Christmas pudding? 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 There's a skip. Put the sixpence in the Christmas pudding. There's a skip. I think it's from the bass next door. In the pudding. Who put the sixpence in the Christmas pudding?
Spirit. I remember my sister Fran brought me home, but I don't seem to remember what happened then. Oh, are you about to show me a happy Christmas, Spirit? Is that it?
Well, not exactly. Behold.
Oh, Fran. Everything looks so beautiful.
Do you like the decorations, Ebenezer? I made them myself.
I thought I heard voices. Ebenezer, is it really you?
Yes, Father. Fran has brought me home.
For Christmas and forever?
Yes, yes, as it should be. You look well, my boy.
And you, Father, you also look very well.
Yes, I am well. And I've been working again. A brand new venture that is sure to make us all rich.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear, Father.
It's really an excellent business idea, Ebenezer.
Yes. Everyone told me that trying to grow grapes in England was foolhardy. But I did grow them. And I let them freeze on the vine. And they said I was foolhardy again. But when pressed, they make the most delicious wine.
It's wonderful, Ebenezer. It's like nectar from the gods.
Yes, we have so far produced 1,000 bottles, and I've just sent samples to every wine taster across the country. And I've even sent a whole case to the Queen. Soon everyone will know about this excellent English wine.
That is truly marvelous, Father. Well done indeed. But tell me, Father, What do you call this wine?
Oh, yes, well, that's the best part. I thought about using my full name on the label, El Hanus Samuelson Scrooge, but I thought it was too long for the label, so instead I just shortened it to my initials. Here, let me get a bottle and out, and I will that I set aside for us, and you can see for yourself. Have a look.
Father, your initials.
Yes? What about them?
Well, they are ASS.
Yes, El Hanus Samuelson Scrooge.
ASS. It spells ass, Father.
What?
Look, see the label?
You know I can't read. Does it really spell ass?
Yes, Father. Ass wine. That's what it says.
I could have warned you, Father, if only I wasn't a young woman and had learned to read.
Oh no! Ass wine! Oh, this is a disaster! We're ruined! I sent a bunch of ass wine to the Queen! Oh my God! This is all your fault, what? Ebenezer! You and your book learning and your spelling! Get out! Get out!
Oh, Father!
I never want to see you again!
Please let him stay, Father, please!
Oh, you! Just go to your room and get me a corkscrew.
Oh, please, Father, don't start drinking again.
No. Leave me alone in my broken dreams and my ass wine.
Well, that wasn't a very good Christmas after all.
Your sister Fran was always a delicate creature whom a breath might have withered, but she had a large heart.
So she had.
She died a woman and had children.
One child.
True, your nephew Fred.
Yes.
Well, time's a-wasting. Do you know this place?
Know it? This is Fezziwig's, where I was an apprentice. And there's Dick. There he is. Good old Dick. He was very much attached to me, was Dick. Poor Dick. Dear, dear Dick. Oh, and there's old Fezziwig himself, alive again.
Tonight. It's Christmas Eve, Dick. Christmas Eve, Ebenezer. Clear away and let's have lots of fun here. Close the lights. Bring out the bleachers. We're going to have dance floor here and everything. Look like you're having a good day. Yes, that's the way. Ebenezer, what are you doing?
Oh, well, sir, I'm not much one for parties, so I thought I would just finish the inventory and then go home, if that's okay.
No, Ebenezer, it's not okay working for Christmas. It's ridiculous, huh? You need to relax and have some fun. Oh, I know. Let me introduce you to someone. Belle!
Yes, Uncle Gascon.
Belle, I would like to introduce you to someone. Belle, this is Ebenezer. Ebenezer, this is my niece, Belle.
Very nice to meet you, Ebenezer.
Nice to meet you as well.
I will leave you two alone to get acquainted. Matchmaker.
Hey, open another case of aspirin!
A wonderful party.
Yes, it is. I'm very sorry, but I stutter when I get nervous.
What a coincidence.
You stutter as well?
No. I am studying to be a speech therapist. If I may make a suggestion?
Yes, please.
Try singing your words.
I'm not much of a singer.
Oh, just try a little and see.
Singing and seeing Christmas dinner ain't 'cause I really want to talk with you. It works.
Oh, yes, yes, well, it does work, but perhaps it's not very practical. We could try a more unorthodox approach.
I'll try anything to keep you from going.
Well, it's a bit of an experimental method, and I've only seen it demonstrated once. You see, you imagine the person you are speaking to is naked.
Naked?
Naked.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date.
You fell in love.
Yes, I did.
But it didn't last.
No, it didn't. Oh, spirit, why did you have to bring me here to the skating pond?
Ebenezer. Where
I need to go back to work, Belle. I am sorry, but I do not have time to ice skate with you all day.
Oh, Ebenezer, it matters little. Another idol has displaced me.
What idol has displaced you?
A golden one.
You fault me for simply wanting us to be wealthy.
Our contract is an old one. It was made when we were both poor and content to be so. You have changed. When it was made, you were another man, so I release you.
I was a boy.
That which promised happiness when we were one in art is fraught with misery now that we are two. How often and how keenly I have thought of this, I will not say. It is enough that I have thought of it and can release you.
But I don't want to be released.
It is done.
Well, undo it.
I can't.
Why not?
Well, I am in love with someone else.
What? Who?
Richard.
Do you mean Dick? My Dick?
I prefer Richard.
Well, I prefer Dick.
Goodbye, Ebenezer.
Oh, no, 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 wait, Belle. Could I at least have the ring back so I can get a refund? Spirit, show me no more. Conduct me home. Why do you delight to torture me?
One shadow more.
No more, no more. I don't wish to see it. Show me no more.
Belle, I saw an old friend of yours this afternoon.
Who was it, Richard?
Guess.
How can I? I don't know.
It was Ebenezer Scrooge. I passed his office window and saw him. I hear his partner lies upon the point of death. And there Ebenezer sat alone. Quite alone in the world, I do believe.
Oh, how sad.
Belle, are you truly happy that you married me and not him?
Yes. Yes, of course. I love you.
I love you too as well, Belle.
Do you want to help me prepare dinner?
Would I? What do you want me to do?
I want you to mash these potatoes and add some cream. And butter while they're hot.
Like this?
Yeah, that's good. Get all the lumps out. I'm just going to cut these carrots. Oh, this knife is so dull, it makes them hard to cut.
Here, let me help you.
Oh, Richard. Oh. Yes.
All right. Yes. Lots of carrots.
Yes.
Spirit, remove me from this place.
I told you these were shadows of the things that have been, that they are what they are. Do not blame me.
I cannot bear it. Take me back. Haunt me no longer.
My time grows short, and now I must be gone.
Disappeared like magic.
I'm still here.
Well, tell me when you're gone, then.
Okay, I'm gone now.
But I can still hear you.
You can? Mm. Oh, well, then I didn't leave. Let's try again.
Spirit, are you gone now?
Yes, definitely.
Oh, but I can still hear you.
Oh, that's so odd.
This went on for quite some time.
But eventually the spirit of Christmas past disappeared entirely like that. Magic. Once again, Ebenezer Scrooge was alone in his bed, as if he never left. Once again, the clocks began to chime, and the church bells marked the hour. When suddenly, Ebenezer Scrooge heard a knock on his bedroom door. And although the door was locked and twice bolted, it swung open, and there was the largest head that Scrooge or anyone had ever seen. The eyes were enormous and seemed to look in every direction all at once. Its mouth was huge, but could not restrain its tongue from lolling about, and its ears were the size of an elephant's. However, the oddest thing of all were the two spindly legs that held the big head up. Then it spoke.
I am the ghost of Christmas present. Look upon me. You have never seen the like of me before.
Never.
Have you never walked forth with the younger members of my family?
I am afraid I have not. Mm. Have you had many brothers, Spirit?
More than 1,800 of them.
Oh, a tremendous family to provide for, Spirit. Oh, conduct me where you will. I went forth last night and I learned a lesson that is working now. And if you have anything to teach me, let me profit by it.
Touch my lobe.
Your robe? But you don't seem to be wearing one.
My lobe!
I'm sorry, are you saying touch my load? I am not sure what kind of man you think I am.
My earlobe!
Oh, yes, I see. Earlobe, of course.
Touch my load.
Of course, I'll touch it. Oh, will we fly over rooftops and see visions?
Something like that. Ooh. Get to the chopper!
Scrooge touched the spirit's earlobe, and they were whisked away in the blinking of an eye. They found themselves outside the window of a small house in an area of the city that Scrooge was not familiar with.
My goodness, Spirit, where have you brought me to?
Have you never been to your clerk's home in Dover?
No, of course not.
The window is unlocked. Just open it and go inside.
Wouldn't that be breaking and entering?
Not in Dover.
Yeah, all right then.
So Scrooge made his way through the window and into the house, and the spirit, with some effort, followed after him.
This is where my clerk Bob Cratchit lives.
It is with his family.
Will they be able to see us?
We are invisible to them, or at least I am.
Oh, now, children, your father and Tim will be home any minute now, and I want everything looking perfect.
Almost done setting up the table, ma'am.
Good work, Terry. But remember, this year we only need spoons. Please put the forks and knives away as not to raise expectations.
I finished decorating the tree, such as it is.
Oh, lovely. Thank you, Tom.
I am Tinny Tim, and I surmise it is not a bad little tree. Maybe it just requires a modicum of love.
Oh, what a beautiful thing to say, Tinny Tim.
Oh, I hear them. They're here. Hi, children, if you can surprise them.
Stealth mode activated.
Hello, Mr. Cratchit.
Oh, where is everyone else?
I'm sorry, Bob, but all the other children are out with their friends.
Oh, on Christmas Eve?
Surprise!
Surprise! Oh, well, I really was surprised. I could not imagine where else my family would be except for home on Christmas Eve. Isn't that right, Tim?
Yeah. Hello.
How is Tiny Tim in church today?
Oh, actually, he did the most adorable thing. He wanted to sit right up front and had two little signs made up. One that said, yay, and then one that said, God, and got the whole church going, yay, God, yay, God, yay.
But the really important thing is what I learned today when I overheard two rather distinguished gentlemen speaking about something called economics. Apparently, if the rich pay fewer taxes, then their money will just trickle down to those of us who aren't rich.
I'm not sure how that would work for people like us.
But Mum, these were men who were very well off, so they must just know something that we don't.
What a lad, what a lad! But he is not well, Spirit. Can you tell me if Tiny Tim will live?
I see a vacant seat in the poor chimney corner, and a crutch without an owner, carefully preserved. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
Well, it's time for our traditional Christmas toast, if everyone would grab a glass. Tim, Tony, Terry, Tina. All right, good. Everyone? Mrs. Cratchit? Yes. All right. I would like everyone to raise a glass to Ebenezer Scrooge, the founder of the feast.
I will not toast that man when he treats you so poorly.
Mrs. Cratchit, his oldest family has. Without him, we wouldn't have anything. Look, if you won't do it for me, then do it for the children. Look at them. Look at their little faces. Look at that one. Look at these ones.
Yes, I'm acknowledging them all, yes. Yeah. All right, then. For the children.
Ah, good. So, I'd like us all to raise a glass to Ebenezer Scrooge, the founder of the feast.
Mr. Scrooge.
And God bless us, everyone.
Oh. Oh, no. Kind spirit, say the boy will be spared.
If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, it is likely he will die. And die he should to decrease the surplus population.
Oh.
Hurts, don't it?
Oh, spirit!
In your face!
Once again, Scrooge and the spirit flew into the night and arrived at another home that Scrooge did not recognize.
Where have you brought me to now? It looks like some place in Mackenzie Town.
Fred, have you made the punch yet?
Oh, yes, Mary. All done and ready for the party.
Oh, yes, of course. My nephew Fred's, and that must be his wife.
Mary, I was going to tell you, I had the strangest dream last night. I was in charge of a savings and loan, and it was failing because I lost a deposit to Mr. Potter, who owned the town bank, and everything was going to be taken away from us, and I got so depressed, I was going to jump off a bridge, but my guardian angel Clarence showed up. What life would have been like if I'd never been born, and Mary, you didn't even know me, and there were no Zuzu petals, and it wasn't a wonderful life at all. And so I didn't jump, and everything turned out fine in the end.
My goodness, that's quite the dream. You should write it down as a good idea for a movie.
Oh, it's a bit too strange for the movies. Maybe radio.
I'll get it.
Oh, hello, Mary, and Merry Christmas.
Oh, Professor Einstein, come in.
Please call me Albert. Thank you for inviting me to your lovely home.
Our pleasure, Albert.
Mm. Oh, and where's your charming husband?
Oh, he must be getting the yank set up.
Ah, yes, I've heard of this yank. Ah, the tradition is quite the tradition, I am told. I was very excited to be a part of it.
Would you care for a drink?
Ah, yeah. Some schnapps if you have it, but anything would do.
Oh, excuse me, Albert.
It's me, Robert Frost. Whose woods are these, I think I know? His house is in the village, no?
Come in, Mr. Frost.
To watch his woods fill up with snow. The woods are lovely, dark, and deep. But I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep.
If you can't stay long, that's fine. You must be cold. May I offer you a drink?
Your head so much concerned with outer, mine with inner weather.
Albert, Mr. Frost, you're here. Sorry, I was just making sure everything's ready for later.
I'll get it.
Yeah, you must be married. Yeah, see, my name's John Dillinger. Your husband invited me to this clam bake. I brought a small keg of Canadian whiskey. Here,
in. Excuse me for a moment, Mr. Dillinger. Fred, may I have a quick word with you?
Sure, Mary.
You invited a gangster to our house?
Oh, well, Mary, he had nowhere else to go. And it being Christmas and all, apparently he's on the run.
Oh, all right, Fred, it is Christmas. But someday that large heart of yours is going to get you into trouble.
So, Mr. Dillinger, what kind of work do you do?
Currently, I'm in the business of avoiding incarceration. I'd appreciate it if no one ratted me out.
I have passed by the watchman on his beat and dropped my eyes, unwilling to explain.
My lips are sealed as well.
Hey, everyone, how about we play a game?
What should we play?
Yeah, yeah. What about these 20 questions? I love asking questions. Oh, and answering them.
Oh, yes, let's play 20 questions. Great. May I go first?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
okay. I've got one.
Is it something you can steal?
No, it's not something you can steal.
Is it the road not taken?
No, Mr. Frost.
Is it a scarecrow from Wizard of Oz?
Oh. It is!
My God, you're a genius!
It's a simple deduction. Okay, now it's my turn. I have something.
Is it animal, vegetable, or mineral?
It's none of these.
Is it something you can steal?
Relatively.
Nature's first green is gold.
No, Mr. Frost.
Is it something with arms?
Yeah, sometimes it has arms.
Does it have numbers?
Yes, of course.
Is it time?
Yes, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I've done time, so I know it well. It's my turn. Yeah, I've got one.
Two roads diverge.
No, Mr. Frost.
Is it the animal, vegetable, or mineral?
Yeah, it's an animal of sorts.
Is it Harvey?
Harvey?
Never mind.
Is it a person?
Yeah, it's a person, all right.
Is it a horrible person?
Yeah.
Ooh, is it a monster?
Yeah, that's right, a horrible monster.
Does it feed off the misfortune of others, take advantage of those that cannot defend themselves, and is only interested in profit gain from the misery of others?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, I know. Is it Ebenezer Scrooge?
Yeah, Mr. Frost, it is! Yeah, your uncle, Fred.
All right. I believe you've all had enough fun at my uncle's expense. But I'd like to make a toast. To my Uncle Ebenezer. I wish he was here.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Well, it's time for the Christmas yank, everyone. Okay, come along, everyone. I have it all set up in the back, okay? You just get it all prepared. Light that fuse, okay? Everyone get in close. There we go.
Nephew Fred, Spirit, do you hear him? He made a toast to me. Perhaps I've been too hard on the boy and these. Are these yours?
No, they are mankind's. The girl is want, the boy is ignorance. Fear them both, but fear the boy the most, for on his forehead is written doom, doom, doom!
These ragged and wretched creatures crawled out from the creature's earlobe and grabbing at his nightclothes and dragging him down, down, down. And suddenly they were gone. Scrooge was once again in his bed. And once again the clocks chimed and the church bells rang, and Scrooge felt a deathly presence.
Oh. Molly was dead.
A word from my sponsor.
Oh, spirits, you're the last, the one I fear the most. Show me what you will. I know it is for my own good.
Ebenezer Scrooge felt a cold rush of wind, and he was transported into the future and the year 1953.
I recognize this place. It is a place of business, but in the future. And I recognize these men. They are businessmen.
Jeffrey, my good man, how are you?
I'm fine, Richard, I'm fine. I understand you just got back from another successful space adventure.
Yes, well, I couldn't let you be the only one riding a huge, provocatively shaped rocket into the stratosphere.
Next time for publicity, I'm going to take along that aging actor who played Flash Gordon in the 30s.
Good idea. Speaking of aging, oh, have you heard the news?
Yes, he's dead.
Are you going to the funeral?
Only if they're serving lunch.
Not bloody likely. Oh, look at the time. I must fly.
And so must I, Richard. So must I.
Jetpacks away!
Who is this man that they speak of? Would I know him? Where are you taking me now?
Quite alone in the world, I do believe.
Scrooge found himself in a bad part of town, in an establishment called Old Joe's, a place where you would never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Oh, hello, Joe. I brought you some items to have a look at.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Pennywhistle. Let's see what you've brought me. What have we here?
Well, those are a nice pair of cufflinks.
Oh, these are elegant looking. Mesmerizing moss agates with a swirl of glee-green inclusions. They would have been created by the Carrington and Company in 14 karat gold circa 1910.
Oh, so then there was something.
If they were the real thing. But unfortunately, they're just cheap knockoffs, huh? You can tell by the inscription. I'll give you 2p.
2p?
Take it or leave it.
Oh, all right, I'll take it.
What else do you have?
Well, I got his shoes.
Ah, his shoes, eh? Well, let's have a look. Full brogue leather. Black and white uppers with perforations and gimping along the edges, together with a punched wing cap. Very nice. 2p.
Oh, 2p? You said they were very nice.
Oh, they're used shoes. What do you expect?
All right, I'll take 2p. I've got one more item for you. His bed sheets.
Oh, they're still warm.
Yeah, and he won't be needing them where he's going.
Right you are. Well, these sheets are a special item. 2p.
2p?
2p or not 2p? That is the question.
Oh, and I'll take it as my answer. Well, before I go, Joe, would... you care for a walk in the desert?
Oh, you know me. I'm always up for a stroll amongst the dunes.
2p.
Kinky.
Can't you show me some emotion associated with this poor man's death?
Suddenly, Scrooge found himself in a small apartment filled with children and a woman he vaguely recognized.
Come on in. Now settle down there, children. You're making a horrible racket and your father will be home soon. Robert, you can cry all you want to. No one cares if you don't like Mondays.
Oh, stop it.
Sinead, put down that picture of the Pope and get back to your singing practice. And Bono, quit looking all high and mighty or you'll never amount to anything. Oh, goodness me. Oh, well, there you are. So what did he say?
didn't say a thing.
He didn't say a thing?
No, because he's dead.
Oh, well, who will we pay our loan to back now?
RBC, for all I care. He's dead. He's dead. He's dead.
Oh, Paddy, strike up the band. He's dead. Oh.
I didn't mean happiness. Is there no sympathy regarding this poor man's death? Wait, Spirit. Where have you brought me to now? Is that... Yes, it's... Bob Cratchit, of course.
Well, hello, Tim. It's a beautiful day. Sorry you couldn't be with us to see it. I'm also sorry to say that your mum couldn't make it today because she's feeling poorly and... Well, she's still just a little angry with me because I listened to Mr. Scrooge. See, you died of smallpox, measles and polio because Mr. Scrooge said no one should get vaccinated. Mr. Scrooge told me that vaccines make you sterile, magnetic and were a way of controlling the population so we'd become docile like sheep, and all because Mr. Rockefeller wants to put up more telegraph lines. But between you and me, Mr. Scrooge was wrong. Oh, Tim, we sure do miss you this time of year. All the wonderful things that you used to do and all the wonderful things that you used to say. Sometimes, it's almost as if I can hear your voice.
God bless us, everyone.
Oh, Tim.
Oh. They'll die, they should. They'll die, they should.
Oh, you killed Tiny Tim. Why would you do such a thing? He was just a boy. Why are you pointing at me? It wasn't me. It wasn't me.
Enough of your ornamental excuses.
Oh, Spirit, where have you taken me to now? A grave? But whose grave is it? No, I don't want to know.
You take the high road, and I'll take the low road, and I'll be the Scotland the far ye. Oh, where am I?
Oh, it's a graveyard.
There's a grave.
Wonder who's dying. Ebenezer Scrooge! Ha ha ha, you old bastard! I lost my wife and my wee bairns because of ye. Oh, I got a little something for ye.
Oh, no.
There we are. Cheers, old acquaintance. Be of the same and never brought to mind. Should old acquaintance be forgotten and be old anxiety?
Oh, Spirit. Spirit, these are all things that happen in the future, and if I change, then the future will change, and I can change, I can change. Yes, I can change. I will change. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
Once more, Scrooge was... in his bed, but now he was soundly asleep. When he woke up, he was filled with joy and happiness, but he also realized he was not alone.
The spirits
did it all in one night.
You can change.
I change. Good day to you.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you.
You know, the spirits did do it all in one night, but the question is, what day is it? I know. I'll ask someone.
I know what day it is.
How about you,
an older gentleman? Yes, I wonder if you could...
I know.
have a horrible feeling that if I ask you, you will not give me just a simple answer. You will not just say, "Why, it's Christmas Day, sir."
Why don't you try it and see?
All right, then. Excuse me, boy. What day is it?
Why, it's Christmas Day, sir.
Oh, my goodness, that was unbelievably brief.
Oh, yeah.
Perhaps I was wrong about you. Would you like to come inside where it's warm?
Oh, sure, yeah. I'd love to come in.
I believe I have some work for you, if you like.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yes, you know
this. Nice place you got here. Oh,
it's you, yes. Yes, I've changed.
Okay.
Yes, I'm not like that anymore.
Oh, it's forgiven.
Yeah, oh, thank you. That's so easy.
Yeah.
Yes, now listen. I have some work for you, if you like.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, now, do you know the butcher's across the street there?
Yes, I do.
Now, is the big turkey still in the window?
You mean the one as big as me?
Yes, it's
a pretty big turkey. Well, I don't know what they're putting in turkeys these days. Probably growth hormones. I'd probably switch over to tofurkey if I were you. Might as well just keep it vegan this Christmas. But with the supply chain issues, you never know what's going to happen. So, I mean, I guess you better get whatever Christmas food you can get.
Now, listen. Do you know my clerk, Bob Cratchit?
Yes, the one as big as me.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, he's exactly as big as me. He is exactly this size. And for a lot of the pandemic, he was about 30 pounds heavier than this. He had to slim down. That's not good for his blood pressure.
Anyway,
tell you what, his doctor just raised his eyebrows at him. But that's what he told me anyway.
Now listen. If I gave you some money, would you go buy that turkey?
Oh, yes, of course.
And then take it to Bob Cratchit's house?
Oh, sure.
Do you know where he lives?
Yes, in Dover.
Yes, he does. Yes, he lives in Dover.
Yeah.
Oh, I have another job for you.
Oh, okay, sure. I love jobs.
Do you know my nephew Fred?
Yes, the one as big as me. He's slightly bigger than me.
He's a little taller, yes.
He's in better shape.
Probably, yes.
Yeah.
He's a little older than you, too.
A little bit older than me, yes.
But still in better shape.
Much better shape.
Why is that?
Well, honestly, I think it's the amount of cardio that he does, but it could be all kinds of reasons. I mean, you never really know why one person's body type is different than another's. But I know Bob Cratchit, for example, didn't realize he was a celiac until he was 30. And then he started finding out that you can eat gluten-free bread and cookies. You can just go ahead and eat that stuff all the time. You don't just go ahead and replace wheat starch with rice starch and expect not to get fat. That is just not something you do. And anybody who says, "Oh, I'm going gluten-free to lose weight," well then go die!
Okay. Yeah. I think we've gotten... No. Longer tomorrow night. Now listen. I've totally lost track of where we are. Oh, I know. Now,
yes.
I am writing a note.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you this note.
Okay.
And you deliver it to Fred's house. Do you know where he lives?
Yes, in Mackenzie Town.
Yes, now would you take this note and take it to him?
You want me to take that note to Fred?
This note, yes.
There's nothing in your hand.
It's a note. I've just written it.
You could have just written a note.
Here, listen to the sound.
Why is he doing the sound of your note? Did he write the note? I don't understand why he's writing the note and you're giving me the note.
I believe that at this point in time, I have to explain to you this is a radio play.
This is a radio play?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
People are going to be listening to it so they don't need to see things.
Oh, when will it be on Netflix?
It's not going to be on Netflix. It'll be on loosemoose.tv.
Oh!
Next week.
Oh,
yes.
How's the traffic on that site? Good? Yes.
You know, I have places to go and people to see, and so
sure.
Do you. Yes, Merry Christmas.
Christmas!
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
And so Ebenezer Scrooge went out into the streets of London to celebrate Christmas and wish good cheer to every person he met.
I was hoping I would run into you.
Oh, Master Scrooge, we didn't want any more trouble.
No. I've changed. Yes, Merry Christmas.
Now, I want to make
a rather substantial donation to your charity. Perhaps the amount of...
You
just said dubba-dubba-dubba-dubba.
Yes, and that's a very large figure, so you come around to my offices first thing in the morning, and we'll take care of it.
Very generous of you, Mr. Scrooge.
Merry Christmas,
Merry Christmas,
Merry Christmas,
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Oh, you, there, Irish couple. Yes, I wish to speak to you.
Oh, no, Mr. Scrooge. You've already ruined our lives. You won't be ruining our Christmas.
No. I've changed. Now, listen. I want to give you an extension on that loan for as long as you like. And we're going to find new housing for you and your family. That's right, yes.
Oh, really?
And you come around to my office next week. Oh. Yes, and we'll take care of you. Merry Christmas!
Oh, Merry Christmas to you as well. The baby's coming.
Oh,
another beautiful baby.
Oh, that's a Seamus. Oh, well, Mary, we've had another. Oh, look at him. He's beautiful. Oh, that makes me so happy.
Me too. Shall we go make another?
Oh, of course we should. We got all these extra funds now.
Oh, well, it's Christmas. Why not? I have places to go and people to see!
Meanwhile, in the Cratchit household, I was preparing for Christmas, and Bob and Tiny Tim had just arrived home.
So how is Tiny Tim in church today?
Oh, he was really adorable. He did a cutest thing. He wanted to sit right up front here, two little signs, one that said yay, and the other one said God. Got a whole shirt. Oh, excuse me. Oh, Fred, what brings you all the way to Dover?
I'm sorry to bother you on Christmas morning, but a very talkative boy came to my home earlier with a note from my uncle asking him to meet me here.
Mr. Scrooge is coming in.
Oh, I guess so.
Did he say why?
I'll
get it. Mr. Scrooge, please come in.
Mr. Cratchit, why were you not at work today?
Well, it's Christmas Day, sir.
Christmas? Is that your excuse? Well, from this day forward, you're no longer my clerk.
Oh, Mr. Scrooge.
Because from this day forward, you're going to be my junior partner!
No!
I'm going to give you a raise, and there's going to be benefits so you can take care of this beautiful family of yours. Yes, and congratulations! Congratulations!
We celebrate! Celebrate!
There's my nephew, Fred. Now, Fred, I wanted to thank you for making that toast to me at your party last night. What is going on? I'm trying to have a moment with my nephew, and you're doing some little bit.
I'm terribly sorry,
sir. Do you not get enough attention in your life? Is it because you have a newborn child and you're just jealous of the attention that he gets?
He gets so much attention, sir.
Settle down.
What were you saying, Uncle?
I was saying thank you for making that toast to me last night at your party.
My party?
Yes, yes.
My party's tonight, Uncle.
Oh, yes, of course. Spirits, time, past, present, future.
I'm coming to that party of yours and I want to meet that wife. Yes.
What?
Yes.
You're coming to the party?
No, yes.
Oh, Mary, you'll be so excited to meet you. And I have a big, long list of guests coming, and you'll love it. And then there's a Christmas yank to prepare. I better get home.
If I could offer a word of advice when it comes to the yank, use half the gunpowder and twice the amount of feathers as indicated in the recipe.
Oh, good idea, Uncle.
Yes.
Oh, thank you very much. Merry Christmas, Uncle!
Merry Christmas to you!
Merry Christmas, Cratchit!
Merry Christmas, Fred!
Merry Christmas, Fred!
Now, where is that boy, Tiny Tim?
I'm right here, Mr. Scrooge.
Yeah, so you are. Now, we're going to get the finest doctors that money can buy, and we're going to fix that leg. And we are going to get you vaccinated for polio, measles, and whatever else comes along and might harm you.
And will you teach me about making wise investments in uncertain times, Mr. Scrooge?
God, I love this boy.
Yes, your Uncle Ebenezer will teach you everything you need to know about creating wealth and sharing it with those less fortunate. Now, Tim, can you say those beautiful words that you say at this time of year?
God bless us, everyone.
And so Ebenezer Scrooge's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. From that day forward, there was no one who kept Christmas better than Ebenezer Scrooge. But there are still Scrooges out there, and if they do not change their ways, they may be visited by...
By me.
I'll be back.
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
And from all of us at the LMTC Broadcasting Network and the Van Dyke and Brunchette family of fine products, thank you for joining us for this special presentation of...
A Christmas Carol.